Hello and welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. My guest for today is Richard Seeline, co-founder of the Resilience Innovation Hub and major advocate for all things resilience, innovation, policy, and more. Richard and I discuss what all Houston accomplished in risk mitigation and disaster-proofing initiatives in 2022, including HCC's Rising Resiliency Center of Excellence, as well as why he expects this year to be a year of implementation for resilience innovation. Richard, thanks so much for joining me again on the podcast.
Well, this is great. Congratulations. I just noticed, if I'm reading this right, I am the 168th podcast. I mean, Natalie, this is so, not only what a service you're providing, but my God, the insights that you're collecting and curating. So congratulations for the success so far.
Thank you. I think you were like the 72nd or something the first time around. So yeah, it's been a big chunk of time since we've had you on. And yeah, it's a really fun part of my week to get to talk to people one-on-one like this and have and share the conversation. So we have a lot to talk about, but just before we get too far into it, and for people who aren't familiar with you, can you give us a brief background on, you know, what you're doing here in Houston?
Well, it's even evolved even more, Natalie, since we, you know, had our initial conversation. So I, fourth generation Houstonian, back in Houston after being gone for almost 35 years, but not detached from the activities here. I am the managing director of the Resilience Innovation Hub, which is flagshipped here in Houston. It's a national ecosystem focused on this whole concept of pre-disaster and risk-mitigated resilience, which I know we'll get into. And I am the managing partner of what's called the ROAR Partnership, which stands for Resilience Opportunity Advisors Plus Resources. And it's a new innovation and investment advisory firm that we began to put together and launch quietly in 2022, which I'll also talk a little bit more about.
So obviously resilience, Houston is known as a resilient city. It's also known to need that resilience, of course. So it definitely makes sense that you're here leading this initiative. So let's talk about 2022, since we're at this really nice reflection point to look back and look forward. What were some of the highlights for what you accomplished and worked on last year?
Well, So continuing on, you know, the context, right, of this definition of resilience, Natalie, it became very, very clear in 2022 on a much larger, kind of stage, so to speak, and even, the COP gathering in Egypt really tapped into this. Since mid-1980s, the insurance, reinsurance industry, federal government have lost $4.4 trillion due to all of these storms and fires and explosions and, you know, and such. But $4 point something trillion, right? In just the past 5 to 7 years, 50% of that, so a little over $2 trillion has been lost to all of these types of disasters. And by the way, you know, Natalie, that's probably a significant underestimate. There's a real belief that it's closer to $6 to $7 trillion. That's a lot of money. It's a lot of loss of life, loss of operations, assets, facilities. Sad but true, we live, you know, in a highly urbanized area sitting on the Gulf of Mexico. And we happen to be in an area that has lots of infrastructure, lots of different types of economic engines and, you know, manufacturing, oil and gas, as you well know. And we have a very diverse population. So as a result of that, these types of disasters continue to have really significant impacts on, you know, families, communities, neighborhoods, and the industry. You know, good news is, so to speak, that COVID began, you know, this kind of arch, so to speak. We haven't so far had too bad of, in 2022, too bad of an ice, you know, storm and snowstorm. But what's really happened in 2022 I believe, Natalie, is the recognition that there are enough technologies, equipment, data science tools that if you were to deploy all of that more efficiently and effectively, you're going to get a 1-to-6 or better cost benefit, which is kind of still a no-brainer that, you know, if you put all of these new types of solutions and if you redesign and build differently, you're probably going to mitigate all types of threats and risk. Now, this can be boring to lots of folks, but what it really gets down to is if I can't use my house, I can't use my car, I can't get to work, my manufacturing facility is not operating at full scale, you definitely see a dip in employment, dip in, you know, the productivity, and also the economic scenario. So 2022, we really focused on the last aspects of designing this new risk approach to resilience. And a number of things occurred. You know, we did our investor forum, and Natalie, thank you to you and others here in Houston who helped, you know, publicize it and promote it. We did not do the in-person 2-day event. We ended up doing 14 75-minute Zoom sessions, which ended up being all in all still successful. We were able to record 13 of the 14, and I'm going to emphasize why I'm even raising that. But we did our investor forum that brought regional, national, and international expertise together to talk about this technology and entrepreneurship and innovation, but also the full scale, Natalie, of all the types of investments and investment vehicles to be applied to getting companies not only launched, but really scaled up. So 2022 had the investor forum. It had the passage of a major piece of legislation that the White House, the president, signed off on just before Christmas. It's been underway this whole past year, called the Community Disaster Resilience Zone Act, which now designates or will have FEMA and the White House designate locations across the country that are defined as most at risk, you know, consistent back-to-back types of disasters, and most in need, that is socially vulnerable, low to moderate income communities. And so that passage of legislation really also moved the needle on how communities are going to engage in resilience, in investing in resilience. And then the third, you know, amongst many other things, the third big activity in 2022 was the launch of the Houston Community College Resiliency Center of Excellence, and the announcement also of building and constructing and implementing what's called the ROC, the Resilience Operations Training Facility. That was done within the context of our Resilient Citizens Corps. And as you may recall, the mayor made a recommendation in his resilience report, his first resilience report, that 500,000 Houstonians needed to be trained to be resilient. That this is the answer to that. So those are, without being out of breath, those are three things that we really got a chance to move them, you know, forward on here out of Houston, but also, again, on a national, international scale.
I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about the HCC initiative, just because it is something physical we can, you know, point to at moving that needle in the workforce development. What's that going to look like? What impact do you see that making on Houston, and when? What's the timeline?
Good questions. So after spending almost 2.5-3 years, even through COVID, engaging on and across the various Houston Community College campuses, and in bringing in over 300 individuals from, you know, everything from American Red Cross, Jewish Family Services, Baker Ripley, to the major construction engineering firms, state, local, county agencies and departments, what's really occurred this past year is finalizing some of the curricula in the new certification programs. So part of this, Natalie, is aimed at individuals that are already in the workforce, that are already, you know, in different positions, who now will be upskilled. They'll get additional certification, additional information and knowledge about how to be resilient as employees. That's critical, okay? Not just only the first responders, fire, police, emergency, medical, but also across a whole spectrum of workforce and citizens. Second to that is JP Morgan Chase made this announcement. They've been at the table for a lot of the curricula development, but JP Morgan Chase Global Philanthropy, their foundation, made an announcement of investing $3.3 million+ into not just the curricula development, further the curricula development, but in bringing 28 of their other funded organizations, their beneficiary funder organizations, all together in what's called the Resilience Workforce Collaborative. So now, Natalie, for the first time, you've got about 30 different organizations working with Houston Community College. And then underneath each of those organizations is anywhere from 10 to 50 other organizations, all that have now identified how to bring their employees, their organizations, their strategic partners, their vendors to the table. And this goes from debris management, construction, to battery, microgrids, EV charging, which we both know is a big focus on the green and sustainable side. So 2022 was completing the curricula, or at least this stage of the curricula development, partnering with organizations that are literally going to play a major role in getting anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000 citizens immediately registered starting in 2023, which is underway now. The U.S. Department of Education will make an announcement through the great work of Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee about putting some initial dollars in as well. And then what's underway is what is called the Embracing Resiliency Campaign, because that building, this, a lot of this can be done, Natalie, you know, across the 14 campuses and the existing facilities that Houston Community College already has. But on the Northeast campus, the plans, the blueprints, the construction plans are already done now to build out a $30 million first in the nation and frankly the most modern location in the nation to train around high water rescue, medical triage, drones, heavy equipment use, as well as working with entities like CenterPoint on how do you ultimately do what they had to do during, you know, the snow and ice storm. How do you handle weatherizing our electric grid? So that process of design in 2022 is now moving into the implementation. And one of the programs that got tested, Natalie, kind of in the October, November of this past year, was this Resiliency 101. And that is, how do you help citizens? How do you help community and civic organizations, different chambers, really train their community groups how to be more resilient? What do you got to do to actually not focus only on recovery and rebuilding, but really, what do you do ahead of, you know, a major type of event?
Yeah, this is interesting. And it reminds me of something I've heard you talk about before, and not to get, you know, too off topic, but just to zoom out a little bit, you know, there's no like resiliency industry, you know, it's not like it touches so many elements of things that people don't even think about, connecting tons of different industries, which you've touched on a little bit, describing HCC's developing hub. But for people who aren't necessarily familiar with this scope that, you know, resiliency and the innovation that can happen within it, from the insurance companies to, you know, the startups that are creating new technologies. How do you explain that to somebody who might not be super familiar with all of the industries within the sector that are touched by this world of developing?
Because look, you know, and you're hitting a good point. Words matter, Natalie. And sometimes we all think that if I say this, and, you know, if I say resilience or sustainability, all of a sudden somebody sitting across from me is going to automatically click, and words do matter. First off, we identified 55 occupations, 55 occupations alone in the resilience space, this idea of pre-disaster and risk mitigation, right? Reducing loss, then we identified about 25, 28, quote unquote, industry cluster, subcluster, so to speak, construction, IT, drones, cybersecurity, you know, all those. You know, Natalie, the simple way I can always describe this is, when I get a new car or lease a car, I call Geico up, which is not a commercial, but that's who we do our auto insurance with. And Natalie, they go, you know, Richard, do you have anti-lock brakes, one of these, you know, rear view cameras, and one of these new alert systems? And I go, matter of fact, Natalie, I do. And they go, great, discount, discount, discount. So right now, you and I spend about $3,400, $3,800 when we buy or lease a car to get all that equipment. And the auto insurers love it, because what they are assuming is by having anti-lock brakes, a rear view camera, and these alert systems, you and I are going to drive a little bit better, safety. It's going to prevent us from having wrecks, and therefore reduce the amount of times that they have to write checks for your repairs. Okay. The other part is that what's built into the strategy is that you get to use your car more often rather than having it in the shop, right? So think of this as the opportunity for entrepreneurs, innovators, inventors, researchers, and I'll use a couple examples in our own backyard, have come up with or are coming up with technology, equipment, and again, data tools that you can hang on, in, or around any kind of asset. Our good friend Rahel, who, you know, has, you know, Climate Guard, which is the Ziploc bag for cars, simple explanation. You have a group out of University of Houston who really took the next step of commercializing this new type of concrete, Natalie, that absorbs more water, okay, that it handles, because that's one of the problems is you have too much concrete, you actually increase the flood, you know, likelihood of floods. So I try to simplify it on that whatever I am trying to do in my car to get me from point A to point B, allow me to use my car, use it safely, whatever it is now embedded in my, you know, in the car. Let me go one step further. You know, I got Apple, whatever, you know, got the screen in my car. Now what you're seeing is the use of some of these data tools, these alerts that actually come up on your screen in your car and tell you that there is a potential for you driving into a flood area and redirecting you. That's additional solutions, right? So that's my only simple way of describing it is that we know that these types of disasters are going to occur. We hope that certain things will evolve more around some of the climate change activities. But the fact is that you can't get rid of all risk. What you can do is try to mitigate the negative impacts, right?
Yeah, and you bring up startups and the opportunity to create, you know, innovative tech to mitigate these risks. And I know that's part of what's coming down the docket in 2023. So what do you see the future for startups within Houston and beyond for moving the needle on this risk mitigation when it comes to resiliency?
So we now know that the insurance industry and the reinsurance industry and the mortgage bankers and some of the traditional finance arena is recognizing that it makes sense, right? All right. But they also know that there's a return on the investment. That's the reason why this Wharton Risk Center up at the University of Pennsylvania study that they did, which is now kind of embedded in some conversations that we've had at the Jones School, at U of H, you know, A&M, others, you know, around us in the academic world, you know, this idea that if I invest, I'm going to see a 1-6 or better return. So we had in our plans and began to roll out in the last quarter of 2022, what we call the Resilience Venture Lab. And we are finalizing our agreements with a number of existing incubators and accelerators. We're not going to run another cohort. That we don't need to do another cohort. What we realized is in talking with entities like Mass Challenge and Impact Hub and Generator and TechStars and some of the other relationships that we've had in the past with some of the InsurTech accelerators, look, Natalie, they're running great programs. They have a lot of alumni as well. What we thought is that the Resilience Venture Lab would be kind of the finishing school, so to speak, that we would take these previous, you know, the alumni and work with the new cohorts in helping them identify potentially new markets they may not have considered for their products or service or, you know, technology, and or to help them really get, you know, jettison, you know, take off into the relationships that we've been putting together through the investor forum and lightning rounds. So we are underway now in finalizing these agreements and are going to do a formal call for interest, not only in Houston, but across the country. And I actually had, oddly enough, Natalie, I had 5 phone calls internationally last week. Because somehow somebody picked up on it. It was either through LinkedIn or something. So to simplify, we are taking the Resilience Venture Lab, and that's where we're going to put the investor forum under. And we're looking at doing the investor forum in later February, early March, here in Houston again. And by God, Natalie, you are going to be facilitating one of those sessions, and it's going to be in person. Now, we all may be masked up and layered up, but we're going to do it in person this year. So we're putting the investor forum under there. We're putting the lightning rounds. And then the other part that we are finalizing is capital is not the issue, Natalie. There's more capital than we've ever imagined. All right. It's just connecting the capital to these types of entrepreneurs, innovators, including some of the deployment of these products and solutions into what we are working on now, which is the Resilience Investment Fund 1 approach to get launched in 2023 as well.
Yeah, well, I think it makes a lot of sense. And with how you described navigating this not industry, but world of industries and industry clusters, as you described, like it does seem like it would be a very hard thing for a startup founder to navigate. So this seems like the solution to that, to find the right people, the right collaborators, not try to reinvent the wheel of an accelerator, but just a hub, right?
Like, yeah, I mean, look, you've told me and others have said, you know, man, you know, there's a lot of great successful incubators and accelerators and programs, all right? And I'm not interested in competing. We're interested in collaborating and leveraging. What I realized was that here's what we're not. We're not property tech. There's a lot of folks working on real estate and building technologies, okay? Not just here, but across the country. We're not green tech or sustainability. All right. We're not insure tech and we're not smart tech or smart cities tech. You know, those four, we're not. What we are is sitting in the middle of those four and finding ways to integrate those different technologies into what we call platforms. Because, Natalie, what I think all of us are realizing, especially in this area of, you know, lots of different challenges, what we're doing is we're trying to connect the different sources of technology. So I could have somebody who's really good at data and somebody who's really good at sensors or drones, all right? And then I have somebody over here who is really, really good at understanding the, you know, construction or, you know, engineering. You end up having three different great brains working on three different solutions that if you brought them together and integrated them into a platform, everybody's going to get funded and everybody suddenly has a new market. That's what this is focused on.
That's really exciting. I love this intersection of, you know, startups and new technology within the resilience world. And this is going to be a great asset to Houston. What else do you have on the radar for 2023 that you're excited about, other initiatives, et cetera?
So this Community Disaster Resilience Zone Act that got passed opens up a huge, huge scenario that we're actually already working on. We're not going to wait for, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security or FEMA. I mean, we're not going to get so far ahead of them, you know, officially, so to speak. But what we are doing is we're not waiting. I have the data. We've got some pretty phenomenal data tools, Natalie, that I'll talk about in a second. But what we already are doing is identifying some locations here in Greater Houston to roll out some pilots around these resilient zones. We've announced a collaboration with Company of Nomads here in our own backyard. Company of Nomads, some of y'all may know, has done Bravery Hall. They're announced to work on the new ION space that's between, you know, the ION and Greentown Labs. But what we're doing now, Natalie, is under this piloting of these community disaster resilience zones, or resilient zones for short, is we're bringing, any technology that can help, you know, minimize, you know, the consequences of disasters. All right. As I keep on saying to folks, Natalie, I can build the biggest moat in the world and put the most fierce alligators in that moat. Check mark. We have a lot of technology, a lot of solutions. We're doing an event in a couple of weeks with the Netherlands Business Support Office and the Consul General around some of this. So I can, you know, we, those technologies exist. Here's the real challenge is, are we helping citizens, communities, and neighborhoods survive or actually thrive? And our objective is thrive. So within the context of these community disaster zones, resilient zones, we're looking at urban farming. We're looking at health and well-being. We're looking at education and training. We're looking at housing. All right. So those four touch points open up a significant opportunity to bring in new technology and new innovations. These are big. And it's some people who may listen to this kind of go, well, is this an opportunity zone? Yes, but not. Will it look like some of the other real estate development projects? Probably. But what makes it different is it's intentional to bring the federal government, the insurance, reinsurance capital, which is close to $1 trillion of capital that they want to deploy across the country, community development finance, CDFIs, traditional banking, financing, and then you have a significant amount of philanthropy. So one of the things that we're looking at, Natalie, is we think we've identified two or three locations in Houston, one or two actually on the east side, that make a lot of sense. And one of the things that we're also kicking around is you've got that phenomenal makerspace on the east side. Phenomenal. All right. He's doing such a great job. What we think is there may be an opportunity adjacent to some of the area that that whole team's been working on to actually create a resilience-focused manufacturing hub. Because now what we really need are locations across the country where folks can bring whatever they need to be manufactured, some of it just in time, like what we learned from COVID about the PPE, you know, the mask and all. So that's one of the other parts that we're looking at here in Houston. Now, we're going to do this across the country. We've identified there's 832 census tracts, Natalie, that fit some form of what we're talking about. That's a lot. All right. So what we felt was, why don't we go ahead and find a few in our own backyard? I just was on a conversation earlier with some folks in Alabama and South Carolina. You know, we're talking in California as well. But again, we're here in Houston, even though we've got nodes in the network, as you're aware, you know, Boston, New York, Chicago, Norfolk, Atlanta, South Florida, New Orleans, Puerto Rico, and then moving west. But we want to leverage. I'm here in our own backyard. So we want to leverage the brain power and the capabilities of entrepreneurs and innovators in our own backyard. I love traveling. I don't mind getting on a plane, Natalie, but I am getting a little lazier where it's great to sit down in my own backyard and have some of these conversations.
You said something earlier that I want to circle back to about just the opportunity for funding. Like, there's money and we're more and more aware of the need to invest it in risk mitigation and resiliency. But can you talk more about like all the different avenues? Obviously, there's some venture capital, there's grants, there's, you know, donation-based funding too, that can be applied in some circumstances. And maybe even after describing the scope of that money available, talk a little bit about the challenges of implementing it and where it should be. Right.
So I kind of look at this as a capital stack per se. Okay. So easy one is to talk about, you know, the public sector government. Okay. So we know that there's about 6 to 7 major federal agencies that, you know, write the checks, FEMA, HUD, Housing Urban Development, EPA, Department of Commerce. The challenge that has been, Natalie, and respectfully so, has been all on the recovery and rebuild. There really is a shift now by Congress, especially, to say, wait a minute, we keep on writing checks and repairing stuff and rebuilding and you know, moving folks. So what has begun to happen bit by bit is that Congress, working with the federal agencies, and especially in a pretty bipartisan way, are saying, why don't you take a portion of your funding, your grants, and your contracts, and begin to look at better preparedness, you know, this idea of pre-disaster risk mitigation. So you have a whole set of programs that existed before. You have a number of programs that are, frankly, being finalized within the new, you know, $1 trillion infrastructure bill, okay, that's, you know, hitting the streets bit by bit and being distributed across, the, you know, the state, county, cities. So that's underway. You've got a number of communities that we've identified a little bit in Texas. We hope to see more of this occur in Texas. But you've got some counties and cities across the country, Natalie, that are very, very, you know, forward thinking about using some of their programs, their bond capacity and other types of programs to do these kinds of investments, not just build big things, but to bring technology and innovation into the infrastructure. So that's, you know, that is something that we're tracking. We're tracking, well, I'll announce, it's not completely up on the website yet, Natalie, but we are working with 3 great organizations. Oh, by the way, I just realized, Natalie, as I was saying this, all 3 organizations' CEOs are women-owned entrepreneurial businesses. I just realized that. I'm not being subtle. It just clicked for me. We have a product called Leadership, Resilient Leadership Connect. It identifies and maps every decision maker in the federal government, Congress, the lobbying firms, the associations, all inside, you know, greater Washington, D.C., you know, the so-called Beltway. That is great because it helps us identify and connect the people who are making decisions with all those resources. We're working with a group called the Atlas and Market Edge that they are identifying for us at the county and city and kind of regional level, all of the public elected and appointed officials, Natalie, that are making these decisions as well as using some of their resources. And then the other part is that we now have probably the most complete mapping and visualization all the way down to census tracts and zip codes of every kind of piece of data you could imagine on economic development, sustainability and green, social impact, reduction in social vulnerability, low to moderate. So all three of those, Natalie, are coming together. And why I'm mentioning is that data does drive how all of us go get grants and contracts. And the more that we can make available to entrepreneurs and innovators, this data, it helps qualify their ask, whether they're trying to raise money from a venture capital group or go after a grant or contract or strategic partnerships, which we very strongly believe that not everybody should go after venture capital. The greatest investment you can have is a non-dilutable invoice from a strategic partner to help you grow your company.
To wrap up our conversation, I love to put into context the Houston angle of what you're doing. And I think it's pretty obvious to anyone who, lived through Harvey or Uri, like there is this need for resilience innovation, and Houston needs it more than a lot of other regions. So I guess from your perspective, what do you think the city of Houston, Houston's innovators need to know about the future of resilience innovation?
Well, so in 2022, the mayor, joined by city council, signed an MOU agreement with the Houston Community College Resiliency Center of Excellence in the Rock. The fire chief signed another MOU. There are things underway, the conversations underway with the county, getting the county through the election cycle and all. There's conversations underway with the county, different agencies. Why I even started on that is if you look at the procurement authority of those two governments, it's pretty significant because they themselves need the training, but they also need the technology and the equipment that we're talking about. Okay. So that's kind of, you take a look at your local procurement authority. Then you've got the private sector. So every one of these corporate campuses, every one of these master plan communities around us, whether it's Waller County that has, Natalie, I didn't really comprehend this, but Waller County is one of the 10 fastest growing counties in the country. It's one of the fastest growing top 10 locations for logistics and distribution centers. We all drive out that, I-10 and 290. So a lot of what we're talking about actually goes into play in the private sector, real estate development, and these, this type of infrastructure. So to really put it to a, a point, we think that 2023 is the year of implementation, that this is now it's aligning where the resources, the insurance, the incentives, some of the new codes and regulations are all aligning. And then look, Natalie, as you're aware, this week, the 10 Across Summit, which is 10, I-10 going from Florida to California, is convening here in Houston the next couple of days, bringing, I think, 300 plus individuals, not just from Houston, but along the I-10 corridor and some folks from D.C. and other places. Well, they're coming here because, one, there's going to be a conversation about water and energy. But this is really about resilience and about what. And this is an opportunity that I sense in 2023, we're going to continue to see national and global conferences coming to Houston. And this is, to me, the opening for showcasing technology and innovators, you know, more and more. So our hope and role is to work with Innovation Map and others that are going to be listening to really exploit, when saying the positive sense of the word, all our gatherings, all our forums and sessions, and hope where we can emphasize that there is this resilience marketplace. And because of what we started on, Houston being such a large community, which we haven't tapped into on this call, but I'll just raise as we're closing out. Remember, Houston is a gateway to Latin and South America. This is a location that has more representatives of embassies and ambassadors outside of New York and Washington, D.C. So all these consul generals are here, right? We have major international companies with their North American headquarters are here. Everything that we've always talked about, but I will say to you, every one of those examples, they have called me in some form or another in 2022 saying, Richard, we either got a technology or we need something. And so that's a part of this, Natalie, as always, is just trying to connect the dots.
Yeah, connect the dots and implement, right? So lots of things on tap for 2023. So I know you're very busy executing all of that. So I appreciate your time today to talk about everything and share with listeners everything you're working on and that Houston has going on.
You're great. Thank you for the time. Of course, we always are looking for strategic partners, underwriters, sponsors, you know, like everybody else. But what we really want to do, Natalie, I think, is work with you and others about leveraging the events here. And I always welcome your guidance and counsel. You're so great, you know, in what you do, and you're one of the best dot connectors. So thank you for the continued work of Innovation Map and for letting me jump on with you this morning.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss next week's edition, and check out innovationmap.com for the latest Houston startup and innovation news.